It goes without saying that the digital revolution gave us life-changing innovations the world had not seen since the Industrial Revolution. Now, imagine yet another transformational development merging the digital and industrial revolutions. I refer, of course, to 3D printing.
You know, like Star Trek's food replicator.
Tomato soup.
There are 14 varieties of tomato soup available from this replicator, with rice, with vegetables, Bolian style, with pasta, with
plain.
Specify hot or chilled.
Hot. Hot, plain tomato soup.
And of course, the galaxy's most famously replicated smoke and beverage.
Tea Earl Grey, hot.
Yeah, but right now, here on Earth. For instance, at this moment, early adopters already can make a wrench using a blueprint downloaded for free from the internet. Instead of clicking print, they click make. So what happens when everyone can be a manufacturer? Chris Anderson, former editor of Wired magazine, is the author of Makers, The New Industrial Revolution. He described what someday soon we'll all be able to do from our desktop.
You know, the inkjet you've already got on your desk takes pixels on the screen and then spits it out in little blobs of ink on paper. Imagine if it just kept doing it layer after layer, and rather than ink, it was using something else, like little bits of plastic or metal or glass and things like that, and that it built up a 3D object, and that you could just take an image on the screen, then press make, and 20 minutes later, you would actually have the thing you could hold.
Okay, so we can print out a wrench. Please explain to me why that is revolutionary.
We're right where desktop publishing was in 1985. There was software that would allow you to do things that used to require a typographer's union. Kind of extraordinary because it added the word desktop in front of a word that was previously industrial. It didn't change the world by itself, but what it did do is it kind of liberated the concept of publishing from industry and put it in the hands of regular people. And then along came the web, and publish went from generating paper on your desktop into a button in your browser, and with a single press, you could reach 8 billion people, theoretically. The 3D printer is the first step. It has liberated the idea that, yes, you can make something. You don't need to be a machinist. You don't need permission. You can press a button, and something will come out. And it's going to take 20 minutes, and it's going to be plastic. But to be able to go to the next stage, the web stage, where you've got a button in the browser that says manufacture rather than publish, that's going to happen sooner than it did.
For those of us like me who have a history of inability to have a vision of the future, give me an idea of the ramifications of the ability to press manufacture.
When professional tools get in the hands of amateurs, they change the world. It is the explosion of participation and creativity and innovation that happens when you don't need permission to use things, when it's not hard, when people who are not necessarily trained in this, but just sort of do it for their own reasons. That really is what the web is. The web is just a new way of working together online with people who otherwise wouldn't have been allowed to in the old model because they didn't have access to the tools. Manufacturing is the biggest industry in the world. We've seen what the web can do to media. We've seen what the web can do to communications. Just imagine what the web can do to the biggest industry in the world. And the moment when we're empowered to do that experiment, to actually play that out, has finally arrived.
I guess I have to know if whether mere mortals can be trusted with the democratization of the physical world. Will they steal intellectual property from others? Will they make guns and nuclear triggers? I don't think you have to be entirely paranoid to see a lot of negative potential consequences.
When personal computer came out, you know, people first asked what they could do with it, and then they quickly had answers. And some of those answers were, you know, video games, and some of them were spreadsheet, and some of them were computer viruses. When the genie gets out of the bottle, you get a really widespread of uses. We can't print a gun. You can print parts of a gun. I think that it's a really bad way to make a gun. If you want, you can, first of all, this is America. You can buy guns at Walmart. It does raise challenges for intellectual property. Clear as copyright law is, it struggled to adapt to the digital age. And copyright largely affects the creative arts, words, pictures, video, music, etc. What about physical stuff? How does copyright law apply? You know, what element of this coffee cup is creative, and what part is covered by other intellectual property law like patents or trademark, or not covered at all? And how many polygons is piracy?
I think you could make a pretty good argument that the digital revolution changed humanity. Do you predict the same for 3D printing and other digital manufacturing technologies?
I do. if the past is prologue. And in fact, there are more people out there with good ideas for making stuff than there are currently making stuff. It won't just be better products, cheaper, but also new products, new categories we'd never thought of.
Chris, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob. It's good talking to you.
Chris Anderson is the CEO of 3D Robotics and author of Makers, The New Industrial Revolution.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.